You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Colson. This is Minute 74. This minute opens with David viewing the orrery for the first time, and ends rather symbolically with him holding the Earth in his hands. This is one of the most iconic scenes in the film. It's a real goosebumps moment. It's filled with all the beauty and wonderment the life theme suggests. And this sense of awe is personified by, of all things, an android. It is a powerful moment. The discovery is significant, but what it means to David is also significant. We can only guess at what he is thinking and feeling in this moment, but it is the purest confirmation that his behaviour is not mere performance for the benefit of human onlookers. We caught glimpses of his true self when he was alone at the beginning of the film, but here he's really expressing himself. There is an undeniable childlike glee about him. Wayland has truly made a work of art with David. He's not merely an android built to serve menial functions. Wayland set out to create an artificial man, and he accomplished that. David can appreciate beauty, he can experience emotions, but that ends up being corrupted. After witnessing what the mutagen can accomplish, his reverence shifts focus. It's no longer an appreciation for finer intellectual human creations, but instead he adores what the engineers can create. He ends up getting knees deep in the viscera of organic life. For an android, he's surprisingly fascinated by the organic. He does not seem to view it as inferior or with any disgust. The question here is this an ascension or a descension? To many, it may seem like he fell from grace, from refinement to savagery. But it's doubtless that in his own mind, he believes he has become a god. I believe what we witness throughout this film is a clear trajectory. An android who is unappreciated by his inferior creators is given the hope of meeting a superior god race. He acquires the mutagen and, after reckless experimentation, discovers how powerful it can be. Upon meeting these gods, however, he is once again disappointed. They are no better than humans. Alone with the mutagen, he begins to see himself as the one true creator god, better than any that have come before. He has become narrowed in his thinking, obsessive even, but more ambitious than ever before. That's the true danger of AI. His functions before this were generalized. Now he has advanced to the point that he's assigned himself his own purpose and meaning, and he will continue to pursue this endeavor for years on end, unrelenting. I find myself wondering, what about our other cast of characters? Who descends and who ascends on this journey? It could be argued that Shaw goes on a bit of a roller coaster here. She goes from naive to the final girl, capital F, capital G. She becomes disillusioned with the engineers and she plans on confronting them, a bold move. Ultimately, she never makes the journey. But she is preserved and becomes a kind of deity for David. Is that ascension or dissension? David sees Earth amongst all the projections and plucks it out of the air. I remember being quite fascinated to find these things were interactive when I first saw the film. It seems like the engineer is trying to summon that globe, it gets highlighted in green lines and it's brought forward, but then David interferes and holds on to it, and when he lets go it floats away, and then the next minute we'll see that it's sitting on the console, which seems like a very complicated way to do things, but oh well, that's engineers for you. David rotates the globe in his hands to see Africa, the birthplace of humanity. Rather fitting, although I don't know if that was mere coincidence. And I have to wonder, does David hold any reverence for his place of birth? Sure, he doesn't like humanity, but does Earth mean anything to him? Does the rest of that planet and everything on it mean anything to him at all? Hindsight complicates things because we know what David will become, but I don't think his handling of the globe is a sign of his supervillainy to come. Perhaps it's more of a case that, this is a place I recognize, this is a place I am from, and it seems to be part of the engineer's plan. It seems that in this moment he is filled with wonder at the civilization he idolizes. The engineers briefly have returned to life. I think in this moment he is feeling hope. Hope that if he can find living engineers, he too may ascend and escape the confines of humanity. He seems utterly absorbed by the orrery itself, and I can only assume he is seeing something we can't. I cannot make sense of this map, of course, but perhaps to him he is instantly recognizing the full scope and scale of the Engineer's kingdom. This is all just conjecture, of course, and I'm amazed, analyzing this minute closely, to discover that despite being such an iconic scene, the meaning isn't readily apparent. I've seen this moment many times, and it's really just one you feel. The music swells, the visuals are stunning, and you're carried away in the moment. It just swept up in your own feelings that you aren't likely to stop and ask, what is the android feeling? Doing this analysis, I almost feel like, am I overthinking it? Am I projecting way too much? Maybe there wasn't that much thought put into it. But I think by now we know that Ridley, and also Fassbender, have put a lot of thought into this character and into this film. So, yeah, maybe I'm on the right track. Who can say? It feels right to me. But maybe you have a different interpretation, and I would be open to hearing that. To me, it seems David has made this monumental discovery, him and no one else, and he is witnessing this impressive technology from an ancient race for the first time, the first person on Earth to see this. It reminds me in an abstract way of the worship many of the synthetics hold for the xenomorph, the implication being that while synthetics serve us, they interact with us, they even look like us, they are not us. They have a completely alien perspective on the world. And there's something quietly frightening about that. That they don't share a human sense of morality, of purpose, of even beauty. It's something beyond what we can comprehend, and yet we let them so close to us. We saw in an earlier scene that David was practically enraptured when the holographic engineers ran through him. It seems evident to me that he longs to connect with these beings. In that sense, he is a terribly lonely, caged god. He believes that he can do more. Whether humans approve of it or not is another question altogether. And I think that was a failing on Weyland's part, that David has never felt any desire to please or to serve. He just does it because it's pragmatic, it's useful in the moment. Alright, that about covers it. This is Colson signing off. You can find me on TravianDesigns.com, TravianDesigns, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.